Well, the world is changing so rapidly. Things are going faster and faster. And I mean, things, there's been more change in the last 10 years than in the last 100 years. It's just going so fast, and it's going to get faster and faster. It's not going to slow down. It's going to get faster and faster and faster. Think about this. With technology, you can buy and sell with a swipe. You can take a credit card and swipe it over a thing now. And there's other places that you can have something, and you can swipe that with your hand. And then we think about the nations and how things have changed, and that how Iran and Russia and Turkey have formed an alliance. And Turkey hasn't been with them ever. They've been basically with us in NATO, and now they're not. Something's not exactly, you know, going on. And then you think about Israel, and you go all the way back to AD 70 when they were destroyed, run out of the land, scattered all over the world. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was almost all destroyed. And then in 1948, out of nowhere, so to speak, the nation of Israel comes back, and almost after 2,000 years. And just recently, I get kind of a daily newspaper from Israel. It's an internet thing, so it's not paper, but they talked about how they just found huge reserves of oil and gas in Israel, in the land. Now, you say, well, so you're telling us all this stuff. Yeah, well, what does this mean? Well, it lines up for the future. Think about this. In the tribulation, the Antichrist does what? He gives everybody, you got to have a what? The sign of the beast. What is the sign? 666, right? Or where do they put it? On your hand or your forehead. Okay, so they're going to scan. If you don't have that scan, so they can scan. So people say, well, they'd never be able to do that. They can do it right now. Think about this. At the very beginning of the tribulation, Iran, Turkey, and Russia come and invade Israel. People say, that's not going to happen because Turkey's not part of them. It is now. And then you think about Israel. They're going to make a peace pact with the Antichrist. They're going to be at peace. Why would these nations invade Israel? Because of their wealth. They have the gas and the oil now. So it's lining up. And so when is this going to happen? Well, we know it's going to happen sometime, but it can't happen yet because something's got to happen before this. And what is that? It's the blessed hope. It's the rapture. God promised that the church would not go through the tribulation, but he would come and get the church. And so the rapture is God taking the church off the face of the earth. We call this the blessed hope. And so it's a gift. And I'm saying it, one of God's gifts is he said, here's what I've got for you. I'm going to come get you. We can call it a promise. We can call it a gift. We can call it a lot of things. But in our study, we're looking at it this way. Remember in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are what? And then he's going to do what? Go a prayer place. And then he's going to what? Come back. So we're going to see this, and this is the blessed hope. We've been looking at four things. We finished the first two, but here's we've seen the end time events. We've seen the blessed hope, which is God promised. We've seen the rapture events. We're going to see that this morning, and then we're going to see the end goal. So let me remind you, and this is why I do this, is you may say, well, we talked about this. Yeah, we did, but I'm going to remind you because I want you to know this. This is vital because most people don't understand end time events at all. Remember we talked last week and we said, how do people look at end time events? Some people say that it's not literal, and there's no sense in trying to look at it because it's either already happened or never going to happen. And there are some people who say, well, you can't understand it anyway, it's too complex. The truth is you can understand it. And so let's remember about the end time events. And if you remember, there are two comings of Christ to the earth. The first time he came to what? He came to what? To die. The second time he comes to reign. In between, there's the coming of Jesus in the clouds to get the church. And remember, this is the chart. This chart is also out there. You can pick it up on a card, on a little card. Here's the first coming to die. Here's the second coming to reign. In between, Christ comes in the clouds. This is to the earth to die and rise again. This is to the earth to reign. This is in the clouds. And this is the rapture. And if you notice, he comes and takes out the church before the tribulation. And so that's a key thing. The second thing is the blessed hope, and that's God's promise. And we've already seen the promise is found in John 14, 1 through 3. I go to prepare a place for you. I'll get it ready. I'll come back. He'll come back and get us. Now, what's the key about that? It's not that he's going to come back and get us anytime. He's going to come back and get us before the tribulation. I want you to remember, look at Revelation 3:10. Because you've kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you He's writing to a church there in Revelation 3:10. I will keep you from the hour of testing. That's what it's called, tribulation there. That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. That's coming. Notice there, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not destined us for wrath. See, a lot of people read that verse, and without looking at the context, they think he's talking about eternal life salvation. God has not destined us for wrath to go to hell, but obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse is not talking about eternal life salvation. If you look at the flow of the passage, he says, for God has not destined us for wrath, the tribulation, but for obtaining salvation, deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. So just remember that. You have to look at verses in their context, or else you can make a verse say what you think, you know, whatever you want. Here's one, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. We're waiting for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. That is Jesus, who rescues us from what? From the wrath to come. The wrath to come is not separation from God forever and go to hell. The wrath to come is the tribulation. He's going to basically deliver us from the wrath to come. We call this the blessed hope. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. We're looking, and we're going to see that in next week's lesson. We're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you understand? He could come when? Anytime. Listen, it's not, you don't say, well, you know, it could be thousands of years. It could be, but he could come when? Any second. Any signs have to be done? Do any signs have to be accomplished for Jesus to come in the clouds? None. Are there any signs have to happen for Jesus to come the second time to the earth as the king? Are there any signs? Yes, there's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a king federation. There's going to be an antichrist. There's going to be a tribulation. There's going to be a temple built. There's going to be an idol put up in the temple. There's going to be all of those signs. When people say there's signs of his coming, it's signs of his second coming, not of the rapture. Aren't any signs for the rapture? It could happen any seconds. That's called the blessed hope. So now we're looking at number three, the rapture event. What's going to happen? And this is so fun. I want you to look at this chart again. We know this, that Jesus came and lived on the earth and died on the cross to pay for sin and rose again, walked on the earth for 40 days and ascended into heaven. 10 days after that, Holy Spirit came down and formed what we call the church. So the church is the body of Christ made up of Jews and Gentiles who put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. This is us. When we talk about the rapture event, we're talking about this right here. We're talking about the time in which Jesus Christ will come in the clouds and we, the body of Christ, will be taken off the face of the earth. Do not mix up Israel and the church or even the nations and the church. There are three groups, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God. That's the three groups. You'll find that in Corinthians. And it talks about it. There's the Jewish people, there are the Gentile people, and there's the church, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. The rapture is only dealing with the church. Understand that. It's not dealing with the Jews. It's not dealing with unbelievers. It's not dealing with the nation of Israel. It's dealing with the church, which is the body of Christ, and he's going to come and get us. So you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want you, we're going to look at verses 13 through 18, but we'll actually really start at verse 15, and I want you to see this. And so this is the rapture event. Paul is writing. Now let me say this, and I mentioned this in my grow group last Sunday. We talk about that when a person trusts Christ, they're pretty brand new Christians. And we know, we say, oh, brand new Christians, we need to make sure they understand the gospel. We may need to make sure they know how to read the Bible. We need, right? But most people say we don't need to teach brand new believers what? End time events. It's too complicated. Well, when Paul went to Thessalonica, that was on his second missionary journey. He went to that city. He led some people to Christ. They formed the church. The best we can tell, he was only there for 3 Sabbath days. He taught for 3 weeks, and then he had to leave town. And if you read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the letter that he wrote them, these letters are full of the rapture and the second coming. That's what he talks about in these letters. And he writes in there and says, don't you remember how I taught you this when I was there? What did Paul teach new believers? End time events. Listen, so it's important for all of us, whether you're a new believer or an older believer, that you understand the flow. This is what he taught. This is what he taught. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. Listen, he says, there was a rumor going around that if a person was a believer and they died, and then Jesus came in the clouds, they didn't make it. They already died. They died too soon. That's what some people were saying. So Paul writes and says, look, I don't want you to be uninformed about these things, about those who have already fallen asleep. He says, don't worry about it. Those who are falling asleep, first of all, Jesus is going to come. He's going to get their bodies, and then he's going to get us, and we're all going to be together. He says, so don't worry about it. That's what this is all about. But I want you to see the rapture event. Look at verse 15. Look what Paul says. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Notice, this Paul says, this is information from Jesus Christ himself. He said, this is the word of the Lord. This is what Jesus told Paul about end times and to make sure it all fit together. Look what he says. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. In other words, he says, if you've died or alive, when Jesus comes, we're all going to be together. You don't have to worry about it. Uncle John, who already died, listen, he's going to be with us, so you don't worry, because that's what some people were teaching. That if you died before Jesus came back, you got left. That's what they were teaching. So he's correcting that. So Paul gives us information. Look what he says. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will what? What will he do? Descend from where? From heaven with a what? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. Now, who's coming? He's coming. Now, we're going to see, does he come to the earth? Where does he come? We know he's coming out of heaven, and there'll be the shout, there'll be the voice of the archangel, there'll be the trumpet of God, and then it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then he goes, and let me do this, the dead will be raised, and then he says, then, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain, that's us, will be caught up together with them, where? In the clouds. It doesn't say on the earth. It doesn't say he comes to the earth and sets up a kingdom. It doesn't say any of that. He says he's coming in the clouds. The bodies of the dead people will be raised, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. Believers alive and remain caught up with Christ in the clouds. And look what he says. And so we will always be with the Lord. You understand that when Jesus Christ comes, and he could come before we get through with this class, before we get through talking right this second, he's going to come in the clouds, and there'll be a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, their bodies will be raised, and we who are alive and remain will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and we will all be up in the air. And see, some people think that's silly. They go, oh, that's not true. What did Paul say? What did he say? He didn't say, I'm kidding. He didn't say, this is not real. He didn't say, this is what some people say. He said, this is the word of who? Word of the Lord. This is what Jesus taught. And he said, this is what's going to happen. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, not on the earth, in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. Always remember that. And so we'll always be with the Lord. And then look how he ends this. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so when we talk about the gift that God's given us of the blessed hope, is we're not worried about going through the what? We're not. Listen, I have people come up and they'll say, oh, I hope, oh, it's going to be so bad on the earth. I don't know what it's going to be like. Should we be storing up food? What should we be doing? I said, if you know Christ, you're not going to be here. You know, for us, I'm not storing up anything, right? Because he's going to come get us and we'll be gone. If you died physically, where will you be? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're still alive, when he comes, if you've died, you're coming with him. Your spirit's coming. Your body's going to be raised. If you're alive, you'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. That's the thing. In the twinkling of an eye, all of a sudden, boom, it happens. Now, there's a book. I like this book. I'm going to show this to you. I'm just looking at time. There's a book by Ron Rhodes, and he calls it. He's a Dallas Seminary guy. He's really good on end time events. He's got a book called The End Times in Chronological Order. He does a really good job. So if you're looking for a book on end times, that would be a good book. And I'm going to show you something that he talks about in his book, and then I want you to see it here, that when we all know that where's a passage that says that he's gone to prepare a place and come get us? Where's that? Where is that? That's John 14. But we just looked at 1 Thessalonians 4 that talks about that event. So what I want you to see is in John 14, he gives the promise. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, we see the event. I want you to see how this fits together. You've got it on your handout. I don't think you have to write anything down. I just want you to look at it. Here's the first thing. He's going to come out of heaven. That's where he's coming. Look what look at John 14, 3. I will go and prepare a place for you, and then I will come again. Where's he going to come from? Where is he gone now? He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, so he's coming out of heaven. What does 1 Thessalonians 4 say? For the Lord himself will descend. Where's he coming from? Heaven. Okay, so that's the first thing. Look at the second thing. He's going to take the believers up. Look what this says. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and do what? Receive you to myself. I'm going to come get you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Then we who are alive and remain will be what? We're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds. Look at the third thing. Believers will be with the Lord. Look at John 14. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Notice that where I am, you may be also. Believers will be with the Lord. Look at this one. Then we who are alive and remain to be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so we shall what? Always be with the Lord. And look at the last thing. He says, comfort each other. Look at John 14. Here's the problem. Do not let your heart be what? Be troubled. And then in 1 Thessalonians, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Is that beautiful? So the next time you read John 14, where Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there were many rooms. If it wasn't that way, I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, I'll come back and get you, and thus you'll always be with me. That's John 14, 1 through 3. Well, 1 Thessalonians right there says exactly the same thing. He'll descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Dead in Christ rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him, thus to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, comfort one another. Those passages are the same. One is Jesus making the promise. The other is Paul showing how it comes to pass. So there's the promise in John 14, 1 through 3. There's the event in 1 Thessalonians. Listen, there are people. The reason I give you all these verses, especially the 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, and the 1 Thessalonians 1, 10, and the Titus 2, and the John 14. And the reason I give you those verses that talk about the rapture, you understand there's a lot of people who don't believe there's a rapture. In fact, there's a lot of people who teach that the rapture and the second coming are exactly the same thing. And so when you tell them you'll be caught up in the clouds and be with the Lord, they said, no. He's coming down, and they even say some people will go up and come right back down with him, and which is ridiculous. And so you want to have the verses that say we're not going to experience the wrath. We're not going to experience the tribulation. Jesus is going to prepare a place and come back and get us. And 1 Thessalonians shows it. So you want to be ready to do that. So it's really powerful, powerful truth. Powerful truth. Jesus is going to come in the clouds, take up every believer. We'll meet him in the air. Now, here's the final thing, and that'll be next week. What do we do while we wait for him to come? What do we do? There's two things that we're going to look at that we should be doing as we're waiting. So let me give you the application for this morning. It says, let's understand the flow of the end time events. Now think about it. There they are. This is the Old Testament. Jesus Christ comes the first time, dies on the cross, paid for sin, rises again, ascends to heaven, starts the church. Church goes on. It's been going on all this time. Suddenly, Jesus Christ comes with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ rise first. We are alive and remain to be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air. The reason I put judgment seat of Christ up there is a lot of people think that while the tribulation is going on, that's when we get our rewards. We don't know for sure. That's why I just put it at the top of the page. Now, right here, then there's going to be some kind of break, and then a man of sin comes to power and makes a peace pact with the nation of Israel that lasts for 7 years. Now, we haven't dealt with any of that because we're really talking about the rapture here, but at the halfway point, this man of sin puts his idol up in the temple, claims to be God. There's the great tribulation and all of those things, but Jesus Christ comes out of heaven not to stay in the air, but to come all the way to the earth. If you read Zechariah, where does he come? Does anybody know where he comes? Mount of Olives. That's exactly right. See, in the rapture, where does he come? In the clouds. In the second coming, where does he come? The Mount of Olives. I mean, listen, y'all. If you take the Bible literally, It makes sense. But to say, oh, no, it won't be there, and it's not going to be this, you just want to look at them and go, what's the matter with you, right? I mean, think about it. If you're going to interpret the Bible historically, literally, and grammatically. And what it says, when it says he will reign for 1,000 years, 7 times in 6 verses in Revelation 20, 7 times he says he will rule for 1,000 years, and people say, that's not real. Oh, really? Okay. So he comes the second time, sets up the kingdom, rules for 1,000 years. This kingdom is also called the eternal kingdom because after the great white throne judgment, this kingdom goes on for all eternity. We call that the eternal state or the eternal kingdom. It just so happens tomorrow night we've got our Sam's group. And a couple of months ago when we were meeting, some couple of people said, hey, what about something about end times? What is the eternal state going to be like? And so tomorrow night, if you want to be in the Sam's group and come tomorrow night, or if you're not really old enough but want to sneak in, you can. But anyway, I'm going to do a study tomorrow night on what will the eternal state be like. And we're going to look at it in two ways: what's not in the eternal state and what is in the eternal state. So that's pretty interesting. We'll see that. So let's understand the flow of end time events. Number two, let's understand the blessed hope. Listen, God promises he will come and get us and bring us to himself. We'll always be with him. So don't be troubled. Be comforted by this. And the second thing is right there at the bottom. God will bring this event to pass. How do we know that? How do we know he'll bring this event to pass? Because he said it, right? I mean, didn't Paul say this is the word of the Lord? I mean, he said this is what God said, so don't be worried about it. When he says it, he means it. When Paul, people say, well, Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, wrote 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians and Colossians. And Matthew, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote Matthew. And Mark wrote Mark. And Luke wrote Luke. And all through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you talk about the Word of God, this is not people's writings. This is the Word. This is God's Word flowing through human beings, given the exact information that God wanted us to have. That's why we hold the Bible as the authority, as the Word of God, as alive and powerful and sharpening to it, a sword piercing for us, a division of the soul and spirit. I mean, it is what we need and what we know. So when you start talking about end time events, it takes a little while to go to all the places. We're coming, by the way. We're in Matthew 21. When you get to Matthew 24, it's not very long because Matthew 21 is over today. We get into chapter 22 next time. When you get to Matthew 24 and 25, that's Jesus teaching about the tribulation. Jesus teaching about the tribulation. So that ought to be interesting since it's Jesus teaching it. And we'll see that.